My name is Taesung Kang. I am privileged to be here to fill in and also leading worship, be part of worship and worship with you. And this very glorious day is beautiful morning as I drive down here from Concord. I feel like already a spring. I just feel like a spring. I love hiking. Ever since I got appointed to this position about 7 years ago, hiking has been my passion of mine. So last summer, I decided to hike Mount Moriah. If you recall, Mount Moriah bears the same name as a mountain where Abraham climbed with Isaac, his son, for the act of sacrifice. At the time, my soul somehow very grieving and weighted heavily because a lot of things happened in my life. As a district superintendent, I've been involved at disaffiliation process. And then I have to have a conversation to close one local church. Never done before for the last 7 years. Thank God. This is first time to dealing with this situation, close the church. And sudden passing of my mother due to COVID in Korea. And also at the same time, 2 weeks after, my father-in-law also passed. So a lot to carry. So I was immersed still in grief and still mourning all those losses. So on that morning, like 7 o'clock, I was climbing and walking. And my prayer constantly repeated in our heart as I meditating, noticed that this is Mount Moriah. And then just maybe, Lord, help me to lay down my all burdens. Maybe this is a place that I'm going to be sacrificing myself, that I can find you there and God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. And restore my joy within me. Upon reaching the flat rock at the summit, no wonder why they call it Mount Moriah, the flat rock. I was sitting there more than an hour. Still, I was just waiting for God showing up. I was just waiting. And the attitude of prayer. Look around, look down, and close my eyes. Nothing happened. As I start descending, all of a sudden in the middle of the mountain, tears stream down my face. All of a sudden, I was also singing at the same time. My sorrow dissipated and replaced that the sense of the comfort and peace all of a sudden in my heart. I knew that was God. It was a deeply transformative and powerful moment. God was there. Jehovah Jireh, God was there. Hiking was a thing when I feel like I need to come close to God. Of course, in addition to prayers and then, you know, scripture readings, I often experience a sense of being closer to God. Celtic tradition call it thin places. One of the Harvard theologian defines it in places is the visible and invisible word come into their closest proximity. That is the thin places. I'm sure I'm going to be missing my thin places, the White Mountain, as my next appointment will be in Manchester, Connecticut, starting July 1st. So I'm determined to climb the rest of eight, the peak about 48,000 footers. I have eight more to go before my relocation. So no, that is the reason in the Bible also a lot of people climb the mountain to meet Christ, meet God there. That's why Moses, when Moses climbed Mount Sinai, he received 10 commandments, as you know. And Elijah, in this Bible, Elijah who's fleeing from Jezebel, he was so scared, and then he ended up in Mount Horeb, where we experience the presence of God, not in the storm or earthquake, but he found God, the presence of God, in the still, small voice, silence. So we go up mountain, and we may be a different person when we return. So this is a Transfiguration Sunday. I mean, Mark called it more transformation. Metamorphosis. Transformation. Before entering the dark valley of the Passion, Jesus takes his inner circle, Peter and James, John, to the high mountain. We don't know which specific mountain he climbed. But people think that maybe the mountain, Hermon, because Hermon is a very high mountain, like a 9,000 feet above the sea level. You can see the snow covered on the top, and people think that maybe that gives us some sacred feeling. Maybe that this event is related to Mount Hermon. But we cannot prove it. Today, Mark's gospel begins with after 6 days. So this is 6 days after Peter identified Jesus. You are the Christ, Messiah. And then after that, Jesus reveal and say something to them secretly. I'm going to be suffer, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. 6 days after. You know, in the Bible, number six is always implied for the imperfect number. This is not 7 or 3. This is imperfect. Something is in there. Something is not perfect, troubling. So that's why Gospel Matthew always when it's used 6 days or 6 hours, that refers to the time of darkness associated with the Christ, with the Jesus Christ. Just think about it as disciples. When they heard the news, it was shocking. Still for the last 6 days, and they've been processing what that means. If Jesus died, their master, the Lord of lords, King of kings, he's going to die. And they heard about it. They never seen anything like resurrection. They have no idea what that looked like. Their head must be spinning as they process this, information. Their also heart was not settled. Discouraged, also dismayed and confused. What it means? In that very hour of darkness, Jesus changed before them. Verse 3 says, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. You know, it is very interesting that Mark and Matthew and Luke, all three gospel synopsis, they're talking about this. But Matthew and Luke, they're talking about his face is so glowing. But here in Mark, talking about clothing. He didn't mention about his face is so glowing or shining. So I was interesting that look at one commentator suggests that in ancient time, white clothing was very rare. Think about 2,000 years ago. And mainly worn by wealthy elite who could afford slaves to wash their garments all the time. So they don't have to go to streets. They can ask their slaves to do all the errands, and they can wash and maintaining the whiteness of their garment. Therefore, white clothing symbolized the highest social status. That's interesting. Before passion. Bleaching also is a symbolic metaphor for renewal and purification. So Matthew said that his clothes became as white as the light. So all of a sudden, that darkness changed into light. Their heart is so heavy, now just all of a sudden uplifted. Hostility shown by people or threat of death can stop the light. Even death itself can stop the light. Think about the light in the book of Genesis. There is nothing, and the universe was a formless and empty darkness was over the surface of the world, the universe. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And all of a sudden, the light, there's light. I wonder why Jesus take these all three, his inner circle to the mountain. And he could go down by himself and pray. And this could be an event privately. He can encounter God privately. But this is the only moment the disciples see the glimpse of his divinity. Even though they saw that witnessing Jesus is, heal the wounded and to heal the sick and raise the dead or climb calming the sea. But they never seen like this before. It is the moment. In that sense, this is not the story only of Jesus' transfiguration. It is also a story of disciples' transformation. Because they saw this light and this glory, even though they have to still processing, heart is difficult, they have a difficulty believing that Jesus will die and rise again. How do they prepare their hearts? And even though they're going to be all deny Christ, and they're going to be run away from him, but yet they experience the part of the nature of Jesus Christ before passion is coming. Even though they failed, but I think this moment, the light, the glimpse of light, that is enough to sustain all of us, the disciples, to hang on. This is not it. This cannot be the end of story. they could hang on to encounter later the glorified Christ, Lord Christ, at his resurrection. Friends, we may not experience in such a dramatic way God in our lives, in our spiritual journey. But let me ask you this morning that what are those moments we feel that the light comes your heart, enter your life? You're all surrounded or you're overwhelmed by all this grief or sadness or doubt. Or hopelessness. But all of a sudden you found there's something in it. Just enlighten you again. Change your heart. What is your version of transformation story? Of course, when light enters our lives, despair change into hope. Sinners change into saints. Persecutors changed into persecuted people. When this happens, we just do things because we're supposed to. When this happened, we really wanted to do it because it makes sense to you and to us. We just don't want to go around trying to do the right thing. We want to be sort of right person, as like creeping caterpillar is transformed into soaring butterfly. So Peter, in his ecstasy, per se, is seeing all this glorious, magnificent glory, and he suggests that maybe we need to build three booths here, three camps, maybe tents. Of course, we understand that Peter, entirely, even from my own experience, when I was up in mountain, wishing I had a tent with me, stay there all night. But Franciscan priest Richard Rohr explained this way: we must first allow ourselves to be captured by the goodness, truth, and beauty of something beyond and ourselves, outside ourselves, then we universalize. And then he pointing out that sometimes we, our churches, tend to stay, enjoy mountaintop religiosity. Sometimes that creating dualism, you know, if we always think this is a sacred one, this is a not sacred one, this is maybe spiritual things, and this is a non-spiritual things. We're trying to divide up. To overcome that dualism, religious dualism, what it's suggesting is we have to come down to the street. We cannot just stay and being in the glory of God, being in the presence of God. Sometimes we cannot just stay on the mountaintop all the time. We have to come down to the street, from steeple to street. It is a blessing that we could come in Sunday morning worship with a beautiful praising band. We just worship. We fill up. But we have to go. We have to go. Jesus knows they cannot stay there forever. He knows that this, even though he might go through that valley of the suffering, eventually the shadow of death, Jesus is coming down to the Word. Continue his labor of love, nonviolent protest against the status quo, the religion at the time, that was so hypocrites. The churches, we need to wake up. I know we are been experiencing disaffiliation, division in our world, in our nation. As a Christ followers, the churches need to wake up, arise. We cannot just be complacent. Attending Sunday worship, it's just satisfying us, our soul. We have to come down into the river to pray. Maybe down in the valley, all things are happening. But we go down with a new perspective as we're talking about the mountain experience. And that's why I appreciate that Philip Yancey, he defines the prayer as an act of seeing things from above, from the point of God. So when we go down to the street, we have a now different perspective. We are different people. And we see things differently with compassion and love and grace. That is exactly what this Bible is teaching us. The blessing of experiencing transfiguration moment. But friends, I'm going to warn you that when we come down to the Word, go into the Word, we'll be experiencing a lot of confrontation, resistance, suffering like Jesus has to go through. Persecution requires some sacrifice. We may feel that we are alone in this journey. We often are lost, often lose our trust and hope in Christ. And sometimes it's meaningless what we are trying to do, mission and ministry. Then we have to remember the moments God gave us, shown us a glimpse of glory, His glory. So that just we can hold on to that memory. That's not enough further. Sometimes that's why Jesus, Jesus and all disciples heard that voice from the heaven. This is my son, whom I love, my beloved. Listen to him. I think we need to hear the same voice. That the same voice created light out of darkness. Same voice called us out of that darkness when we are darkness. The same voice called all of us, each one of us, hey, come on out. And call us, and when we baptize, when we go through the confirmation class, realize that we are God's beloved. We are special. We are God's children. We need to continue to hear that voice. It'll be good practice in the morning, probably when you get up this morning, you just put your hands on your head and just pray, I am God's child. I'm beloved. Even though you are doubting, but God is with you, we'll continue to discover and remind us who we are and whose we are in Christ. Now, friends, we are heading toward Lent. My prayer for all of us, this light, the light of the Word dwells in our hearts. As you continue, recall our inner voice that we are God's beloved. We don't have to fear anything. We don't need to be anxious for anything. let's remain with Christ through every even suffering we have to go through it, this darkest valley, even cross. We are not going to be run away. We are not going to be denied Christ. And we're going to listen everything Jesus teaches as you do, if we do. One day we will indeed be invited to remain with him in glory forever and ever. Amen.